I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. It's never an easy call with so many problems in the world to know where to direct the money that you donate when you want to help out in this world. But what I can tell you is that when you donate to CAMH, you're saving lives. We know about the opioid crisis. We know about the mental health crisis. They are doing the work. Help change mental health care forever. Your support will help CAMH build a future where no one is left behind. Donate at CAMH.ca/CanadaLand to help us treat addiction and build hope. Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you. The most powerful journalist in Canada to me is probably Suresh Das. Unlike most reporters or pundits, Suresh has the power to make me actually do things, like get into my car and drive for an hour to get a sandwich. Suresh Das is a food journalist, and he specializes in, for lack of a better term, ethnic food. Toronto happens to be one of the best cities in the world for eating food from all over the world. Months ago, Suresh was tweeting about some Sri Lankan catering joint out in Ajax, Kusini Catering. And they do this regional black rice dish that he said he had rarely seen on any menu. And he was going on and on about it, and my mouth was watering, and I made a mental note that on the weekend, I would need to drive to Ajax to try that place. Food missions like that are a weekend treat for me, in part because the weekday lunch options near our downtown office are pretty bleak. Like, if I check my food takeout app, there are literally three different chicken wing places on the same block. A Jack Astor's, a Hooters, and an office pub that is actually called Office Pub. But on that particular day, the weirdest thing happened. Two new joints popped up on my app that I had never heard of before. Both of them offering Sri Lankan food. Their menus were filled with things that I had never heard of, and so I ordered myself some lunch, and I set off to the address listed, expecting to see signs for these new businesses, one called Rusi and the other one called Sri Lankan Smash Kitchen. These new businesses that had somehow decided to launch during a global pandemic in a business district with no businesses open on that same block that has the three chicken wing joints. And when I arrived at the address on the app, I was standing in front of the office pub. And I looked around, confused, and I saw that there was a sandwich board on the sidewalk instructing me to go to the basement if I was there to pick up food from Rusi or Smash Kitchen. It turns out that I had ordered my lunch from a ghost kitchen. The office pub was closed, its owner bleeding money on his massive downtown Toronto commercial lease. His industrial kitchen had just been sitting there. And so a bunch of office pub employees, who, like a lot of the people who fry chicken wings in Toronto restaurants, they launched a couple of virtual businesses. A kitchen, a central location, and a few food apps, and that's all they needed. They were up and running. And then to make things even weirder, after a bit of chat with them and a bit of clicking around, I figured out that these guys were the same people behind Cusini Catering, the place that Suresh Das had been tweeting about in the first place. And they're just one such operation. There are hundreds of them, maybe thousands, and they've been exploding in numbers since the pandemic hit. Ghost kitchens, restaurants that look like restaurants on an app, but in reality, it might be some auntie's stovetop. There are illicit noodles and gray market sandwiches. I'd stumbled onto the food underground. And the food underground is a world that Suresh Das has been exploring as feverishly as he used to explore taco joints in faraway strip malls. His work has never stopped. Because, you know, this fucking virus has taken so much from us. It's this ongoing lesson in deprivation. We're learning about all of the things that we can live without. Schools, offices, live music, each other. And it sucks, but yeah, we can live without all of it. But we can't live without food. Food will find a way. And Suresh Das joins me in a moment. Wait for it. This episode is brought to everybody by Solomon McKenzie, Billy Robleski, Catherine Hundleby, Jared Lombardo, Anne-Marie Butler, PJ Buchan, Andrew Kasperzak, and Andrew Gabory.
My name is Andrew Gabory. I am a professional therapeutic clown in Mississauga. I support Canada Land because I think they are doing some of the most important journalism in Canada right now. The show Commons is, I think, one of the best podcasts being produced today. They always shed light on issues that need much more focus. Thank you guys so much.
This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer, and it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's amazing the things that we tell ourselves to talk ourselves out of getting help. Anybody who's actually gotten help knows that the process of getting things off your chest, of taking your stressors, your problems, and just like not letting them be bottled up, working through just conveying them to somebody, half of the battle is just doing that. You unburden yourself. And you know what? If you have a real mental health professional, no, they don't have magic bullets or magic words that make it all go away. But often they can help you see things a little bit differently and guide you to strategies or tools or to a new perspective that actually does help. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Because you listen to this podcast, you get 10% off of your first month at betterhelp.com/CanadaLand. That's betterhelp.com/CanadaLand.
I had this dish for the first time when I was in Bangkok, Konom Tokyo, but I've never seen it in the GTA until recently.
Konom Tokyo, actually it's like Thai, right? But I don't know like original name, why it's named like Tokyo. But it's basically it's like crepe or pancake. And then we roll it, make it like a bite size. Yeah.
Picture just a hot dog, which is wrapped with a crepe. And the crepe has kind of been made in this lacy pattern. So you kind of can see the hot dog as the crepe is wrapped around it. And sometimes in the stuffing, you'll have like a kaya, which is this coconut sort of custard cream, or pandan, which is another cream made from pandan leaf. So these are like, you know, snacky kind of items. And it's not really made to be in a restaurant. It's kind of made to be cooked for the family on a Sunday morning. So I found myself standing at a subway station on the Danforth on a Sunday morning, waiting outside for a person who wants us to only use her Facebook name, JP, and her partner, Nookie.
And how do you spell your name?
Actually, my name is like Nook, N-O-K. But people here like call me Nookie, more easier, because Nook is like Thai name, right? Yeah, that's why.
So I came across JP and Nookie through Facebook Marketplace. One day I was just scrolling through it to see if there were foods that I haven't tried before. And I saw this Kanom Toki for the very first time, and I ordered it.
When you start like eating it, you cannot stop eating it.
JP and Nookie live in Scarborough. They live very close to the Victoria Park Station. And they're living in an area where they're concerned about the spread of COVID and being in close spaces. So they figured, we'll just tell our clients to meet us at subway stations.
Yes, only subway, pretty much subway station, because it's more easier. We don't need to like take the bus or something like that.
And, you know, in my example, I would meet JP at main station where I'd be outside, and she would come outside and present me with this box, and I would give her cash, and I would finish the box before I would even get home.
It sounds like a drug deal. So you're just arranging these clandestine handoffs, these exchanges. And I am a little bit stuck on the actual food itself. I don't really associate hot dogs with Thai food. What's the polite way to sound this? A hot dog wrapped in a sweet crepe with custard does sound gross to me.
You know, in Southeast Asian culture, there are many, many, many foods that would fall under the category of fusion, just because people love combining interesting combinations of flavors. In this particular case, what works is that simple marriage between salty and sweet.
Yeah, and this is one of my favorite like snacks too, right? And I cannot find it here too, actually. I cannot buy anywhere here in Toronto. That's why I decided to make my own. And when I made it, I let her try it. She said, why don't you just post it on social media or something, right? Like some might interested like to order it or something. That's how we started.
So JP and Nookie used to work in the hospitality industry. They used to work for a restaurant in the city. They say that their dream is to open a place that specializes in Kanom Tokyo. That was the intention a couple of years ago. But because of the amount leases cost in the city, they were just not able to open a place that specializes in crepes and hot dogs.
This is just like my part-time, because I start doing this because like we have planned in the future to have like store.
So you would open a store just for Kanom Tokyo?
Yeah.
Oh,
just like, you know that the like cheesecake, you know cheesecake, Uncle Tetsu, right? Only cheesecake.
The pandemic has kind of given them the opportunity to test out this concept to see if there's an audience. And they sell the stuff only on the weekends using the subway line, and they sell out. They're making a very small batch, but it has given them the confidence to look for a space that would specialize in just Kanom Tokyo.
This is interesting to me as well, because I guess this isn't something that came through word of mouth through like, you know, foodie and food industry. Like, you're just looking through pictures on your Facebook feed, and then you're meeting strangers in the subway for a box of pancake wrapped hot dogs. It's a completely different twist on the usual, you know, food hunt, the Toronto food hunt for like, where's the lineup? Where's the lunch spot that everybody's talking about or that nobody yet knows?
Yeah, that's a good point, because in the before times, as a food writer, I'd spend the majority of my time driving up and down streets, whether it's in Scarborough or North York, and just looking left and right at signs and seeing new places, seeing where people are going into. And with the pandemic, and in our house, we've kind of made a decision to keep me at home, because we have a newborn and my parents are, you know, they're completely compromised. So I wanted to make sure that I'm not spending time going to restaurants. So I've spent a lot of time on Marketplace, but at the same time, I've seen this huge uptick of people that are just taking to marketplace to be able to sell a full range from snacks and appetizers to whole presentations of a feast and even desserts. So in many of these cases, this is home-style cooking. This is cooking you wouldn't find at a restaurant. And that is really, at the end of the day, what is intriguing to me. It's the kind of food a mother, father, or auntie would make for you if you went to their place. And I saw a posting on Marketplace where a woman, Anita, was offering just two items. Idli, a white steamed rice cake. It kind of looks like a puck, but it's white. It's usually open fermented for about a day or two till the batter bubbles. And biryani. A biryani is just rice cooked with stock and laced with protein, or it could be with vegetables. And so for me, idli is very personal because it reminds me of my mother. She would make a batter. We would have idlis on Sundays and maybe dosas the next day because the batter was even more fermented. I guess you can find idli in a number of restaurants in the GTA, but the execution can be a wild miss because there is a certain level of skill and patience that you need, and intuitiveness also, when you're making that batter. Plus, there's also the idea of, you know, like everyone's batter is going to taste different because it just uses, you know, the what's in the air to make the ferment.
Like a sourdough bread, I guess.
Absolutely. So I responded quickly when I saw the posting with the usual, is this still available? And, you know, it's the response that you typically push through Facebook. And she responded right away. And I said, you know, I'll take whatever you have, a box of each. And a few days later, I'm in this parking lot at the corner of Markham and Ellesmere in Scarborough, waiting for Anita while another customer of hers showed up.
Good, how are you?
How are you?
Good to see you. How's it going?
Good
handshake,
good,
right?
Yeah.
He's a customer, Shalom.
Okay.
Shalom.
Shalom. So, can you introduce yourself and tell me where you live? Where are you from?
I live in Lindsay. So I work as a project manager. Lindsay to here is like one and a half hours.
So this guy drives an hour and a half from Lindsay, Ontario, in order to pick up food from a stranger who he met on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, don't you do that? I mean, I feel like I've done similar things, haven't you?
I don't want to admit the lengths that I've gone to for food. You know, I look, people travel around the world for food trips, so what's an hour and a half drive?
I mean, also, it's not a dish that keeps in a styrofoam container for an hour and a half. It really isn't. But I mean, there are people that will take the time to, you know, drive that distance because these dishes are about nostalgia and heritage. And it reminds these people of a time and place. And you can't necessarily find that in a restaurant. So if you know that there's a home cook in Scarborough that does idli the way you remember it, that, you know, your grandmother or your mother used to do, of course you would drive.
Yeah. You drove an hour and a half
to
get Anita's food.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm a foodie. Her food is good. Food is actually terrific. It's really good.
Does it remind you of something? Like, does it remind you of anything back home? Like, emotionally, what is it about our food?
I'm like, obviously. Yeah. It's not that you don't get food outside. One thing which I liked, I think I told her, like, the very first time I got her food, I told her that, you know, it's really tasty and please do not compromise on the taste because that is what which made me come here, right? Yeah, so definitely taste activates your taste buds, activates your nostalgia back home. Yeah, so I think it does that.
It's really something, I mean, in this time when we're more isolated from each other, cut off from each other, like you can't go into a room with other people and dine and do this very human thing of eating in a restaurant amongst other people. But it's like you found this way to have arguably a deeper connection, like to actually have access to somebody's home cooking, something that would never be on a menu, and people connecting with kind of like nostalgic food memories and finding that one dish that maybe they haven't had in years. How much of this are you doing?
I hope my mom and my wife are not listening to this. So, I mean, in the before times, I would average about 12 to 15 restaurants a week. Now, obviously not. So for me, it's not just that I want to eat this food. It's that I want to learn about how broken our systems are and how we don't really have the incubation to be able to bring these cooks to some sort of restaurant. So I'm trying to obviously learn more about it for my own edification.
Sure, but I would say, how much of it are you doing?
I'd say about, I don't know, 4 or 5 times a week, maybe.
Wow.
I don't know, not every week, but.
Do you ever get burned on a deal?
In some cases, I just think that the spicing is not where it should be. But I've never been, like, I mean, this food is, like, cheap, and it shouldn't be cheap. But, I mean, I wouldn't say I've had a bad experience. It's just maybe not to my liking.
Why do the cooks do this? I mean, like you say, this food is largely ridiculously underpriced for the amount of effort involved. Why does somebody like Anitha run an operation like this?
So there are a lot of, when you talk to a lot of the home cooks, you find that there's a lot of similarities in why they're doing what they're doing. In this case, Anitha and her husband, they come from South India, from Hyderabad. They moved to Canada a few years ago, and both are very accomplished home cooks. They come from this long lineage of cooking at home. So they're very, very talented, and they know how to make dishes that have recipes that are probably spanning centuries. And they also refer to themselves as foodies. So they like to go out and eat in Scarborough, and they've said that they love the fact that Scarborough has such a wide variety of foods. But they couldn't find the kind of home cooking that they were used to from the various cafes and homes of Hyderabad. So Kamal, her husband, agreed and encouraged the idea of opening a small place. And here's where they run into their first hurdle, rent. Rent in Toronto and the GTA now has skyrocketed in the last 5 years. So this is why also you have a lot of home cooks that have relied on street food festivals in the past, whether it's the festival that the TIFF puts on or whether it's a food truck festival. For these home cooks, that's another way to test out their menu, get some capital, build an audience without having to open a restaurant.
But under the pandemic, even that is, of course, impossible.
Yeah, I mean, for the last couple of years, a night market or food festival has been the only entry point for these guys to try things. But you have none of that now. So that's why we're seeing the third option. So no restaurant, no food truck festival, no street food festival. You're seeing the gray market. You're seeing social media, where you have this potential audience of hundreds of thousands of people that will drive to you if the menu speaks. So I had the chance to visit Anitha again to kind of just check out her operation. And what you're about to hear is her preparing the tadka. So you have this idli, right, which she steams and serves it to you in a styrofoam container. And the idli is always accompanied by a few different chutneys. In Anitha's case, she wasn't prepared to cater at an event. So she decided to limit her radius originally to her apartment complex. She wanted to just cook for people on her floor because she noticed that there were a lot of people that prefer to go out to get food. They were elderly and they were worried about contracting COVID. So she wanted to be able to see if at least she could feed the immediate community that's in her complex. And one by one, the orders started becoming a weekly thing. So Kamal and Anitha both cook the dishes and the idli. They have this very small operation, and they're cooking out of their apartment home. And we were waiting to serve one of their most loyal customers. This is a person that is immunocompromised and prefers to not leave the building.
Okay, so he lives in our apartment. I didn't advertise in my apartment, and I advertised only in Facebook. So what happened was one of my customers came on top to pick up idlis. So that is when she was traveling in the elevator. So this gentleman had asked her, what you are getting from this floor? Then she immediately opened the box and gave the idli. So please taste it. So this customer had tasted, and immediately he noted the number from her. And then he started calling me. Every time he comes here, he picks up just idlis. Because they are also part of our community, so they know how to make the sides for it. But since they both are old, they cannot make the batter, you know, using the grinder, and it's going to be a cumbersome process. So that's the reason why he always picks idli from me, and it will be twice or thrice in a week.
Anitha has this ritual of whenever she's serving one of her customers, she will serve them a drink, this cold drink called a panakam.
From that day, and then I used to buy twice a week or once a week. I really like it. I bought several places and I don't like it, but this one, really, my wife, my kids, they love very much.
Suresh, this is all illegal, right?
Yeah, I want to be sensitive to this topic. I mean, regardless of your opinion of whether it's illegal or not. This is happening across the GTA, and I mean, it's happening across the world. And when you say illegal, well, we're talking about this sense that you can't serve or sell food that's cooked out of your home kitchen. Public health will have a field day with that. Because, you know, we have high standards for health and safety in this country when it comes to food. So we want to make sure that, like, if you're profiting off food and you're selling food, it should be cooked out of a licensed kitchen, which is why when you walk down the street and you see a restaurant, you have that public health notice on the window, whether it's the yellow, red, or green sign that says, we've inspected this kitchen, it's clean. The temperatures are being adhered to when food is being stored. There are no rats running around, so you can eat here and feel safe.
I hear you. I mean, it's one of the most kind of basic human activities and freedoms is the ability we nourish each other, we cook for each other, we eat each other's food. But like you say, as soon as money changes hands, I mean, it's just necessary that there are safety and health regulations, and all of this is happening. We can generously say gray zone, but it's probably all illegal.
But more than 1 billion people eat street food every day. Mm-hmm. More than 2 billion people probably eat street food every day. I'll just be honest. I've met a number of these home cooks over the last couple of years, and I've been in a number of their kitchens pre-COVID, and most of their kitchens are immaculate, cleaner than many restaurant kitchens that I've been in. And, you know, these home cooks have to make money somehow, and I don't think many of them started this gray market operation thinking they would end up on a top 10 list somewhere. They just wanted to be able to feed their immediate community. And it's just happened that there's an audience for this kind of food. So it started off as a hyper-localized operation, but it's kind of grown from there, from an apartment complex to a few blocks or a few subway stops.
Look, to me, the fact that it's illegal is a feature and not a bug. As we were saying before, whether something is legal or illegal might be a different question than whether it's ethical or unethical. A lot of the stuff that was perfectly legal in the food system and the restaurant system that we know so well was not great. The way that workers were treated and the way that the apps were affecting the businesses and the barriers between people and the food they want to eat. And it seems like there's an opportunity here, as there is with everything right now, to rewrite those rules, not just with respect to prepared foods and meals. I know that you've also been buying your groceries through Facebook Marketplace.
So just for some context, we're probably living in the fruit capital of North America in a sense that because of the demographics in the GTA, we see a very large selection of tropical fruits and tropical ingredients coming from all over the world to Toronto. And this has all happened in the last decade. My mom used to recall that when we were young, she would have a hard time finding certain spices or certain types of mangoes. But now, I mean, most like small mom and pop markets or bodegas on the Danforth will have an incredible selection of fruit and vegetables from the Caribbean and Southeast Asia. But because of COVID, a lot of these grocery stores were not buying as normally as they would. So a lot of the stuff was left at the airport or just wasn't coming in. So I started to see this huge uptick in private sellers on Facebook Marketplace that were selling fruit.
We are talking about the fruits like mangosteen, rambutan, I have green adelia, purple passion fruit, coconuts.
And this is how I met Jeff Lance. He's a purveyor of tropical fruits.
Okay. How much do I owe you for this?
25.
Yeah.
So I noticed this year, the fruit scene on Marketplace is crazy.
It is, yes.
Why do you think that is?
Marketplace, I think it didn't came up to me like not much until this COVID thing, because I've been staying at home, like doing nothing. So I've been browsing my phone all the time. My kids want to buy fruit, and we started to search on Marketplace because we don't want to go to the supermarket or something like that, that it's crowded, right? And I saw the opportunity. So I asked my seller, what if I do a reseller too? So, and then that's where everything starts.
What's the draw here? What are you getting from Jeff that you can't get elsewhere?
Probably nothing. You can find that stuff in normal times across the GTA, but the quality is just far, far superior. you know, I just think of my time living or traveling through Southeast Asia, and you go to like a fruit market and you get this amazing, beautiful rambutan fruit or like a mangosteen, and the quality is just incredible because it's from there. And you just would never get that quality here because by the time the fruit travels, you know, it's plucked before it's ripe and it spends 2 months in a container. With Jeff, I've just never seen those two fruits this good before.
It reminds me of back home. Like, it reminds me of the fruits that we keep on eating back home normally, and here it is hard to find.
Jeff is also trying to replace the jobs that he had before, and the pandemic has kind of, you know, made life for him fairly unstable.
So I have two jobs, both at the airport. My wife also works at the airport. She got laid off right now. I'm only working weekends. Then weekdays, my full-time job, I got laid off, and we don't know when we're coming back.
So have you applied for CERB or anything? Like, what kind of support do you have?
I am currently on EI. I am currently on EI, and it is not really enough, to be honest. It's a good help, but for my family, it's still not enough. So I have to make a way to put the food in the table, right?
And is this helping?
It's helping us a lot, yes. It is really helpful.
Suresh, how do all of these stories end? Like, I can imagine sort of, a heartbreaking ending where, you know, the health authorities shut down all these operations, or like a really optimistic, happy ending where each of these different entrepreneurs builds a thriving business and even like sets things right that had gone wrong, you know, like all of the kind of sort of soul crushing trends of mass chain restaurants downtown, like out of the ashes, you know, we have a new fruit market, a new ma and pa owned eatery. And, selfishly as a glutton, I have better choices to eat. But these people build businesses, and each of these different entrepreneurs and cooks you've been introducing me to, they thrive out of this crisis. Like, where does the truth actually lie in the outcome?
I mean, I want to live in that world, Jesse. I want to see fewer over the top, like gross food trends, and more emphasis on regional cooking from these tiny mom and pop shops where there's a lot of heart and love and nostalgia to food. And I want to see these young entrepreneurs harness social media and get their brands out and like get their food out and introduce the city to food that it's never seen before, to kind of add to this, you know, cheesy mosaic that we keep saying that Toronto is about. But there's also, you know, the flip side. And the flip side is, if you go back to Cucini Catering and the other virtual kitchens that operated out of the office pub, the most rudimentary setup in terms of like the brick and mortar, right? These guys are operating out of an actual physical space called the office pub. I caught up with San from Cucini Catering recently because he's my connection to the office pub and the other guys that run the operations there. And I asked him, so it's been a few months now. How are these brands working out?
So today is our last day at the office pub. We've been there for 9 years, and we couldn't find a proper solution for our rent agreement. We are on our last year of lease, and we pay closer to $30,000 as our rent. So, you know, we cannot keep going forward like that. With businesses slow, the offices are closed. There's not too much traffic downtown, you know, not a lot of people are there. Condos are empty, so, and the landlord didn't want to give us a rent reduction. He didn't apply for his rent subsidy. He told us that he's going to apply. We agreed on a $10,000 reduced rent and came back in mid of August and said, hey, my rent subsidy is not coming up. And you guys have to pay the full $156,000 rent from April to August, which was a shock for us. It's sad that the government should have stepped up with these things. Landlords, they're taking their power trip and, you know, ruining a lot of small businesses, livelihoods of a lot of restaurant owners, the staff who are working, kitchen staff, you know, putting a lot of people out of work now.
So what's next then? What are you going to do?
What's next? Right now, Kusni Catering, and I'll be operating Kusni Catering right now. And hopefully we'll see if I can secure something up in the near future.
Thank you, sir.
So not only is he not taking over the office pub space and rebranding it Kusini Downtown, he's lost his job as general manager of the office pub, and he's lost this this kitchen that he had cheaper access to downtown. And I've lost my Kotu Roti around the corner.
Oh my, it's so depressing. We've lost the office pub. We've lost the X number of virtual brands that were operating out of that space, serving Sri Lankan food in a part of the city where you don't have really any great food. But I mean, San is operating out of another commissary space, and maybe the other guys that were doing the virtual kitchens will find somewhere else to land. There are so many empty kitchens right now in the city, and I have to believe that these guys will find a place somewhere.
Suresh, what do you see as coming next? I mean, are these Facebook marketplace efforts going to grow into blossoming businesses, and then we're going to have like a newer, better food scene? Or is the trend that's wiping out restaurants going to take everybody down?
This is so depressing to talk about. I mean, like, in the last month alone, I think 75 restaurants have closed in Toronto. I think eventually Facebook Marketplace will see a crackdown of sorts, because I don't think we are living in a city where home cooks will be allowed to cook out of their home kitchens. So hopefully they'll be able to move to a commissary and rent a commissary space for $30 an hour and do something there. But I think what you'll also see is that as Facebook continues to grow and as listings get pulled off it, you'll see smaller and smaller networks take over. It'll be the Instagram group. It'll be the WhatsApp group, where the people like Anitha and Jeff go back to that hyper-localized community of their apartment complex or a couple of subway stops, and then they just use that to be able to feed themselves and feed others, and hopefully build capital where they can buy or release a space in their neighborhood. But then I also see that, you know, going back to JP and Nuki, they want to open Kanom Tokyo. And they're willing to partner with a cafe where, you know, the cafe will do their pulled espresso shots and JP and Nuki will have a menu in a glass case where they serve Kanom Tokyos every weekend. They're open to that. This hybrid model that I see more and more cafe owners and supermarket owners being open to. So there are some good things, but I just don't see the restaurants getting a break from landlords anytime soon.
If I cast my view forward 3 or 4 months in Toronto, the patios are closing as we move into winter. The dining rooms at 50% or less to keep people socially distanced are not sustainable. I mean, I really think that we're going to see just mass attrition. Like, I don't know what restaurants are going to be left. Meanwhile, everybody's got to eat every day. I'll put it this way, Suresh. I would rather be in the position of having to figure out what to do with my successful apartment biryani enterprise right now than having to figure out what to do with my chain of 6 downtown Toronto restaurants.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, you just got to know where to find it.
That's your Canada Land. If you're listening to this message, it's because you're probably somebody who listens to Canada Land but does not support us. That's okay, but I'd rather you be one of the people who listens to us and supports us and doesn't have to hear messages like this. I think if you like the show, I think if you value news existing, it's time. It's time to pay for news, or else there ain't going to be any. We make it so easy for you. You won't even think about it because it's $5 a month. That's where it starts, and it's very easy to sign up. You just click on the link in the show notes or go to canadaland.com/join, and we can do away with this whole part right here. We want you as a supporter. We want to send you socks and stuff for being a supporter. Please go do it now. You can email me at jesse@canadaland.com. I read them all. We're on Twitter at CanadaLand. Our website is canadaland.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter where we keep you up to date with all of our podcasts and news coverage. Kasia Mihailovich and Roslyn Kufour were the original producers of this episode. Additional audio production by Jeremy Kessler. Our managing editor is Andrea Schmidt. Our theme music is by So Called. Syndication is handled by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. Visit them online at cfuv.ca. If you like this show, please support it. Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A couple of years ago, a cop was shot dead on a deserted pier in the tiny nation of Belize. The only other person there that night was a frightened young woman found covered in blood. By all appearances, it was an open and shut case. But not in Belize, where this woman was connected to a mysterious billionaire who basically runs the place.
Justice will not be served in this case. She's gonna get away with it.
Or will she? White Devil, a Campside Media original. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.